Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. Wonderful to be here. And it's good to have our dear friends from Colorado all the way out, long ways away. But they're very, very dear friends. And Lance and Cindra Foster, we're glad to have you with us. They're both planning to be baptized in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. That always excites me. That's the gospel. Amen. It's commanded by our Lord. And of course, I preached it many times, and you know the scripture so well. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's a good positive statement. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Promise of God. Amen. Sometimes I baptize people. They say, I haven't received the Holy Ghost yet. What's wrong? Well, you've got the promise, but you've got to keep reaching out for it. Amen. God is faithful. All right. We're going to open our Bibles this morning. And we're going to pray again before we get into the scripture. And you're probably wondering, where are we opening our Bibles to? Well, there's only 66 books. I'd like to preach them all to you this morning, but we don't have enough time. But we are opening to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. And we're going to start with verse 14. And I'm going to speak to you on a subject entitled Spiritual Bankruptcy. Now, it may sound negative at first, but bear with me on it. And we're going to look at this subject and trust that the Lord will help us to understand some things that will get us closer to Him and more ready for heaven than we've ever been before. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful, O Lord, for Thy word today, and we thank Thee for the Scripture. We know the Scripture cannot be broken. It is forever settled in heaven. It is absolute. It's greater than us all. We know that heaven and earth shall pass away, but Thy word, O Lord, will never pass away. And now I pray that Thou wouldst not only speak to our hearts, but also that Thou wouldst come into this place and fill us with Thy Spirit. Lord, revive us, strengthen us, lift us up, O God. Move upon us, O God, that we might move at the impulse, O Lord, of Thy word. Now I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst drive out every devil, every unclean spirit, every force of darkness, every hindering power, everything that would rise up against Thy word, Thy people, and Thy kingdom, and give us victory in the Holy Ghost, O God. Lord, we love Thy word, and we love Thee, and we praise and exalt Thee, and we thank Thee for this opportunity, O God. O Lord Jesus, I pray that Thou wouldst come in and just sweep away all complacency. Just remove all doubt. Help us, O God, to be on fire for Thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Glory to God. Nothing would revive us but the Spirit of God. And thankfully, He's promised to do it. You know, we look at Revelation chapter 3, and there are seven churches. Well, it's chapter 2 and chapter 3. Seven churches are listed there with a number of their characteristics and attributes, things going on, some things that should, some things that shouldn't. And of course, these churches, the reason the Lord took these seven and set them apart is because they would be typical of any kind of a condition in any church of any time. In other words, you can look into this as if it were a mirror. Did you ever look in a mirror? Did you like what you saw? You know, as you get older, you don't always like what you see. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and oh no. But these, you look at these churches, it shows you a reflection of what could happen in any church. And there's one in particular we're going to look at today with the subject of spiritual bankruptcy, and that is the church at Laodicea, the seventh of the churches. All seven of these were in Asia Minor, which of course is modern-day Turkey. And they kind of form a out-of-round circle as you follow them around. If you ever look on one of these old maps in back of your Bible or wherever. And God saw the conditions of these churches, and he took action regarding those conditions. Now, we know that today the church world is in trouble. In fact, almost everything out there that's called a church is in trouble. There's not much left at all. We are going to begin with verse 14, and it says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen." Oh, I like that already. Jesus is the Amen. Amen means so be it, or let it be so. Every word of the Lord is yea and amen. You know, they accuse us of being negative with our preaching. What's more positive than amen? And when the Bible says that, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him." What does it say? Even so, amen. Let it be. I hope you don't have any particular attraction for this world. Because I'll tell you what, personally, I've about had it. There's nothing here in this world that I like. The only thing that I own that is of any real value to me is my Bible. And I'm hiding that in my heart because they can never take that from me. As David said in the Psalms, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, O Lord, that I might not sin against thee." Nobody can ever take away from you what God has given to you. Now, in this church in Laodicea, the Lord is identifying himself by saying, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." You know, do you ever stop and think about it? Jesus is the ultimate witness, with the understanding that the word witness means someone who has seen or heard something. You experience something. When God put himself in the form of a man and came down here among us and went through all the things that he did for us, truly, he is the great witness. He has witnessed all things, and he sees and knows all things now because he is the Almighty God. Do you realize Jesus is God, very God? He's not a portion of God, a fraction of God. He is Lord of all. Amen. I know the Catholics wouldn't like that, and there's other religions wouldn't like that, but the fact is, Jesus is Lord. Come on. Well, you know, actually, you know, the church down the street there, that big Catholic bail box, I suppose you think I'm being cruel now, worships Mary, who they say is the mother of God. Who ever heard tell that God had a mother? How could God possibly have a mother when he was before all things? Mary is the mother of the Son of God. Not God the Son, Son of God. Read your Bible, Genesis to Revelation. Read it through again and again and again. And you tell me if you can find anywhere where it says God the Son. It's always the Son of God. Why, if it said God the Son, it would be saying the flesh is God. And the humanity that he wore was just that. He became one of us, Emmanuel, God with us. A body hast thou prepared me. But Jesus Christ existed from the foundation of the world. He existed from eternity as the Almighty. Isn't that exciting to know that? Now, here he is telling the Laodicean church, people just like you and I, human beings. It's just that they lived long ago. They didn't have all the high-tech capabilities of sin that people have now. Do you ever stop and think about that? They didn't have computers back then. They maybe had an abacus. I don't know when that one came out. But you can't get in too much trouble with an abacus, can you? Anyway, when I was in data processing class way back, long, long ago, 1970, I was in computer programming. Back then we had the old punch cards. And you sit in front of there and you take the stack of cards and you punch them. And remember those old checks you used to get for Social Security that had all the little square hole or rectangular holes all over in them? That's because they would be fed into a computer, and inside the computer there were contacts and little wire brushes, little copper wire brushes, and wherever there was a hole in the card, it made a contact and told the computer to do something. Every so often they'd hit the wrong, put the hole in the wrong place in the card. One man had gotten a check from Social Security for $700,000, and he went out and spent it. He went all around the world and blew all the money. He was poor as it had been, poor as could be, but he spent all the money and he got back and they contacted him and said, "We made a mistake." He said, "Well, I don't think so." And they said, "Where's the money?" He said, "I spent it all. It's gone." "Well, what could they do?" They said, "Well, didn't you realize there was a mistake, $700,000? He said, "Well, I read in the paper we're supposed to get an increase." But they never did get their money back. But anyway, when I was in data processing, we had those punch cards like that. And a big old computer, it stood about, at least 5-6 feet high, about 8 feet wide, a big old IBM with the reels, tape reels spinning on it. And some of you might remember those. And the 1620 Fortran, about the size of two large desks, and had about, I think it was about 32K for memory. But anyway, it didn't do much, but it did a little, and we were amazed by it. But we had a little glass box on top of the computer with an abacus in it. And it said on the sign, "In case of power failure, break glass." Because the abacus was about as fast as the computer was. But anyway, you can't get in too much trouble with that. But with computers, high-tech things today and all this, sin is rampant in the world. And really, I'll tell you why the world is bankrupt today and the United States is bankrupt. It's because of computers. You couldn't deal with funds that large without a computer. Now, Barack Obama is planning on dropping $10 trillion worth of our paper confetti, except it's in the form of electronic impulses, on the world in the next 10 years. $10 trillion. That $10 trillion. Trillion! You know, those numbers don't mean much to us, but it's unfathomable how much that is. I think on Wednesday night, and maybe even last week, I was describing that just 1 billion, and a trillion is 10 hundred billion is 1 trillion, but only 1 billion seconds ago, it was 1959. The clock, it takes the clock 50 years to tick. Only 1 billion times. And in minutes, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was walking on the earth only 1 billion minutes ago. Now think about that. And they spend $1 billion every 8 hours and 20 minutes? Hey, there's no way out of this. No way. Our country is going to cease to exist. It's not going to be able to, it won't be long. It's on its way down now. Had you noticed anything strange going on out there? Now, the end of last week, they completely wiped out the credit unions because the government's taking them over. The two big, massive credit unions that the conglomerates that run all the rest of them, they're now seized upon by the government. There have been 3 more major bank failures over the weekend. That makes 20 this year. FDIC will be bankrupt by the end of the year. Nobody's savings will be guaranteed. Isn't this a dandy little situation? Shopping malls closing up, factories closing up, businesses closing up, everything's for sale and nobody's buying because they don't have any money. This is an amazing thing. We're talking about a bankruptcy here, a bankrupt nation. How can you have a bankrupt world? Somebody must have. Where did it go? It's like digging dirt out of a hole. Where'd the dirt go? Somebody got it. This is all being choreographed and engineered and manufactured by their design because they're trying to come up with a new system. But first, they have to bankrupt the entire world. But there's something far more serious than that going on. And that is the spiritual bankruptcy that's out there. And of course, what I'm referring to by that is people that are void of possessing anything of value in a spiritual sense. Watch what he says here as we go on. Now, he's identifying himself as the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Well, what are they then? Well, there's only one alternative to that. He says, I would thou wert cold or hot. The Lord is saying, I'd rather have you cold or hot, but not what you are. He then goes on and says, so then because thou art lukewarm. Boy, that's the last thing we need as Christians is to be a tepid people. God wants us on fire. Otherwise, forget it. I would that you were cold or hot. Either get on fire, be filled with the Holy Ghost, or shut the door and forget the whole thing. Come on. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's what the Lord thinks of this system that we're in today as far as religion is concerned. Because thou sayest, and this really aggravates the Lord. You know, I'm going to preach to you the good news of the gospel. Things don't have to be this way, but let's look at how they are first. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. And by the way, those days are will soon be gone. All right? I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. What a deplorable situation to be in. To evaluate yourself as being, as a church, yourself, yourselves, your church, whatever, your spiritual condition. You're not really looking at things spiritually here. You're just misapplying the spiritual terminology to carnality. That's all that's going on. Because what are they saying? We have need of nothing. We are rich, increased with goods. Big auditoriums. Private jets for the preachers to fly around in. Limousines for them to ride in. A fleet of Mercedes to drive. Gold toilets, air-conditioned doghouses, little palaces to live in, little godmen that walk around making ridiculous statements and getting on television and buying the airwaves and then extracting, picking people's pockets, taking advantage of their souls, which are already in distress. You know this is going on. That is the condition of the churches today. And they build these. We've got crystal cathedrals. We've got Gothic cathedrals. We got all kinds of massive buildings. But we have a nation that is so morally bankrupt and full of sin that it proves that none of that works. It takes something entirely different. But one of the most distressing statements here is when they said, we have need of nothing. Could you and I ever say we have need of nothing? Do we need faith? Do we need wisdom? Do we need knowledge? Do we need miracles? Do we need healing? Let's take all the gifts. Do we need them? Prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Not the wild charismaniac stuff, but the true Spirit of God. There are 9 spiritual gifts being ignored by the church world. They said, oh, we're rich. We've increased with goods. Look how well we're doing. We got all this money locked up in the bank. We got all this hidden wealth. We've got all kinds of buildings, and we built an empire for ourselves. Radio networks and television networks and TBNs and satellites. Paul Crouch has got a satellite going around up there. Beep, beep, beep. Broadcasting his stuff. Well, the Pope's got one too. I suppose he might as well. Pope's got his own telescope. The Pope scope, they call it. Big, big old observatory in the southwestern part of our country. What's he looking for anyway? Is he afraid something's coming? It's amazing. But this is a picture of religion in America today. And not to forget the rest of the world. It's all this way. And they're saying, we are rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. Well, then why do they keep asking for more? Do you ever wonder about that? Always need more. Never enough, never enough. But then when they get in their counting house and begin to look at their exchequer, oh, we've got it made. And God looks at this. You see, when they think if they're measuring their success by material wealth, they're missing the whole point of their existence. And really, they become nothing more than a part of the religion biz. And when the Lord looks at the same thing, they're both looking at the very same thing, he sees something entirely different. He says, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Look at the contrast. Rich, increased with good, have need of nothing. But in reality, in looking at the things that truly matter, the spiritual things, miserable, wretched, poor, blind, naked. That is a pathetic sight, isn't it? And that's how God evaluates it. They are completely, see, they think they have all these things, but they are bankrupt spiritually. And so the Lord says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Gold tried in the fire, refined gold, in other words. You see, when the Lord gives us the wealth of heaven, as he does, every time we hear the preaching, every time we study the word, every time you go into prayer, the Lord is feeding us in the Spirit. And this is gold tried in the fire. This is refined gold. This is the heavenly wealth of God that he pours out upon us. I have heard things that mean so much to me. It means far more to me than anything I possess, that's for sure. The truth that I hold, the hope that I have in my heart, that which is invisible to the rest of the world. But I have it, a treasure, a hidden treasure in earthen vessels. We all have it. The promises of God. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost or you're about to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you've got more wealth spiritually and more wealth, no matter how you look at it, more wealth than anybody else in this world who does not know the Lord. Come on, it's just not measured by material things. In fact, all of those things are not only going to fail, they're already failing. How far down does it have to go before you realize this thing is going under? Now, of course, the news media doesn't want to talk to you about that. They keep giving you these, oh, you know, the market goes up 20 points. Oh, look, rally. Huh? Down it comes again. No, with Barack Obama, a man that should not even be in office because he doesn't qualify, is there because he is going to absolutely destroy our country. Did you know there are a number of military generals, high-ranking generals, that are refusing to take orders from him because they said he has not proven to us he's eligible to be president. We haven't seen any proof any valid proof that he was really born in this country. He's refused to produce it. He cannot produce it. And they said, we're not going to take orders from him if he isn't going to produce something here. Kind of amazing, isn't it? See, we're headed for civil war. We are headed for blood in the streets. We are headed for insurrection. This whole nation is going to burst forth, and it's going to be like dominoes going down. It'll start in 1, 2, 3 places, and all the major cities of our country are going to explode. You watch, and it won't be long. This man is going to absolutely destroy what's left of the United States if he's allowed to stay in office. All right? The Lord gives the remedy here. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You see, there's hope. The Lord gives the remedy for it. But as long as people are focused on material things and do not seek after the Spirit of God, all they're ever going to have is material things, and those are going to be taken away, and they'll have nothing at all. That the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Reminds me of that story, the emperor has no clothes, right? Remember that little children's story? I don't know, some of you may have never heard it, but I'm not going to take the time to tell it all to you right now. But there was a man who supposedly made some clothes for this emperor who demanded the most wonderful clothes could ever be, you know, robes and things could ever be made. And this man convinced him that they were so beautiful, they were invisible, you know. And so he convinced the king, the emperor rather, to go down in a parade without any, he thought he was wearing the emperor's new clothes, and he wasn't wearing anything. And nobody dared say anything at all. They were too afraid to speak up. I wonder if we have any people like that in our country. Afraid to speak up? Till one little boy said, look, the emperor has no clothes. And all of a sudden everybody realized it. Isn't that amazing? Well, here the Lord is saying, we are to buy of him gold tried in the fire, to put on the white raiment, that we may be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and then anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. They need healing. They need restoration. These people need to wake up and realize the deplorable condition they're in, and then God can help them. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Repent means to turn away, to change direction. Behold, oh, I love this verse. I hope you do too. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Oh, we should be inclining our ear to hear the voice of the Lord. To think that the Savior would come to you personally. Notice he's making it personal here. When he says, I stand at the door, it isn't a door to some big auditorium. It's the door to your heart, your personal door. I will come in unto him and will sup with him and he with me. Your personal talk with the Lord, your personal walk with God, your personal visitation with the Lord, your fellowship with him as an individual. I know a lot of churches say you could never have that. The Bible says you can. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath ears to hear, now not everybody does. Have you noticed? Have you ever met anybody who doesn't have ears to hear? Have you ever tried to reach people and you might as well have been talking to a pile of bricks? All the time, right? They've got ears, but they don't work on spiritual things. You know why? They're tuned into something else. Did you ever try to tune in a radio station and you got halfway between one station, half between another one, and they're kind of vying for signal back and forth? It drives you nuts, doesn't it? Well, see, that there's quite an analogy there, you know. Because some people live their life that way. Some people go to churches, they're trying to tune into the world. And part of them says, I'm going to try and listen to God. But they got the signal going back and forth, and they don't really ever make the correction one way or another. I guess you could say that's a form of being lukewarm, too. They're right in the middle. You can't get anywhere. One's fading in, the other fading out, and back and forth, and back and forth. And hey, who wants to live that way? Tune in to heaven. Get a clear signal. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, come on now, what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What does God say? Man says, well, you can invite all the homosexuals in and put a sign up in front of the pulpit that says, pride in my pulpit. You can invite Gene Robinson, who now calls himself Vicky. Huh? That big man, Vicky Robinson. You can invite him to come and speak. Wouldn't you walk out of here? I would. Yeah. All you'd see is two elbows in the back of my heels running down the street. I wouldn't want to listen to that guy. Come on. Now, the Word of God tells us we need to listen to what the Spirit is saying. These people are under the impression that they are rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. They have got it made. They need nothing. I could never, ever in my life, no matter how prayed up I am, no matter how close to God I am, I could never say I need nothing. I need more faith, more wisdom, more knowledge, more miracles, more prophecy, more. What did Paul say? I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. And he wasn't one of these babblers like you find in the Kenneth Copeland meetings. He had the genuine Spirit of God, didn't he? So then they say, well, yeah, he did, but you can't have that because that's gone. Since when? Huh? Since when? The Lord did not pull back his Spirit and say, now you're on your own. I just gave this for a while here. You people don't need it. Are we better than them that we don't need it? I believe in all 9 spiritual gifts that they are for today, and if people will seek them, they'll have them. What happened to Israel? They limited the Holy One of Israel. They put limitations on God. That's what these people are doing. God doesn't do that anymore. Oh, put limitations on. God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't do this. Who are you to speak about God, you know, in that way? In Jeremiah chapter 5, Israel got in trouble because they belied the Lord. They misrepresented him. They tried to filter God through their own hearts, through their own religion, and make it come out the way they wanted it to. I still believe in the real, genuine thing. If you didn't have that, you wouldn't have anything to counterfeit. If we go back, I want to take you back in the Old Testament for a minute. I'm preaching to you about spiritual bankruptcy. I want to show you something here that came up while I was on the computer. I was actually ministering on the internet Thursday night. Every Thursday night I get on the internet and we reach out to people all over the world, and I have answer questions, usually a question and answer session, sometimes a little Bible study with it for about an hour and a half. And we come up with a lot of things here. But, you know, I want you to see something today. This is, we're going back to Nehemiah chapter 5. And I think of the words of Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity, saith the preacher. There's nothing new under the sun. For those things that I see, my father saw before me, and those things that I see shall my son see after me. Nothing new under the sun, right? What is the condition of our country? You want to read about it? Let's read about the condition of our country right now in Nehemiah chapter 5. All right, let's watch this. Everybody ready? And there was a great cry, and the people, of the people rather, and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. These are Jewish people crying against Jewish people. Now watch what happens. For there were that said, we, our sons, and our daughters are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. You got to sell your house to eat? Nobody's doing that, are they? Just all over the place, right? And when it says we take up corn for their family, it means they go in the field and pick up what fell down. Any residue they can scrape up. So they mortgaged their land, vineyards, and houses to buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute and that upon our lands and vineyards. We had to borrow money on our property to pay our taxes. Nobody would borrow money to pay taxes, would they? You see the condition they were in and the condition we're in? Same pattern, all right? Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants. This $10 trillion that Barack Obama is dropping out there, he made that money from nowhere. Isn't that something how he can do that? Poof, there it is. How can a bankrupt nation produce money? It isn't there. They tell you it's there. They feed you numbers, but it isn't there. The wealth isn't behind it. It's nothing. It means nothing. But it creates debt. And it puts your children in debt and your grandchildren in debt and your great-grandchildren in debt if they could live that long, if the earth stands that long, and it probably won't. I don't see how it could. We bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants. And some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them. We can't even buy them back. We have nothing to buy them with. For other men have our lands and vineyards. As I've said before, somebody got it. Over in New York, there's somebody made off with it. Huh? And you look at all of these executives in these companies paying themselves big bonuses, millions and tens of millions, even hundreds of millions. But then how could somebody like Dick Cheney criticize that? When he retired from Halliburton and they gave him a card, a humble little card, saying, thank you, Mr. Cheney, for working for us for all these years. And in that humble little card was a check for $100 million. Or Condoleezza Rice, who worked for Chevron Oil Company and had $10 million in her little card. Hey, I couldn't eat that much candy, could you? Yeah. But you have all these executives skimming off all of this money and then running for the tall grass. And then going to the government and sticking their snouts in the trough and saying, feed us some more. Give us bailouts. Now, that one of the provisions was that you couldn't have bailouts for casinos. However, Harry Reid, the deadhead, Grateful Dead, those are his role models, the Grateful Dead. Jerry Garcia, who is dead, Remember the Deadheads, the Grateful Dead? He's got posters all over of the Grateful Dead. That guy is absolutely absorbed with the Grateful Dead. Did you know that? In the high position of government that he is in. But he said, now it's time for us to go back and look at this. We got to take that out of there and let these casinos have a bailout. Because nobody's going there and gambling anymore. They don't have the money. We got to help these poor birds out. Yeah, you create some more money. And give them another, 10, 20, 30 billion. That'll get them going again, right? Just like GM. See, I'm trying to paint a picture for you. It's awful. It's falling apart. It's crumbling. And we have a picture of it in the Word of God. Where will it all end? there's so few jobs out there. Now, they said that one industry that's booming are the gentlemen's clubs. Over in Providence, Rhode Island, they're holding a job fair for strippers and people. As a gentleman's club conglomerate out there, they're holding a job fair. They said, our business is doing well. We're looking for bartenders. We're looking for hosts and hostesses and dancers and all this. And even though people are broke, somebody's got money because they're going in there and spending it. And it is the rich and the wealthy and the affluent and all these guys. They're swilling martinis like there's no tomorrow. Somebody got it. It didn't just disappear. So you see, it is a deplorable situation, isn't it? And they can call themselves Americans and swindle the American people like that. See, the same thing happened back here with Israel. And the complaint went up. And it says in verse 6, and I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself. Did you ever do that? Did you ever have a consultation with yourself? What am I going to do about this? I do that all the time. I don't ask myself any questions, however, because I don't know about the answer. When I consult with myself, I also reach out to the Lord. He's got the answer. Amen. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles. Boy, did they need it. And boy, do they need it in our land. And the rulers. Where were the problems? Nobles and rulers. Who's giving us grief right now? Nobles and rulers. Wow, the Bible says that? Yeah. And said unto them, ye exact usury. You charge interest. Interest is forbidden in the Word of God. Even 0.5%. 0.25%. No usury. Now the credit card companies are pulling a fast one. They, without telling people, they're lowering people's credit line so that whatever their balance is over the limit, and then charging them for over the limit charge. If they don't pay it, they put penalties on there. They slap you around. People say, I've got a credit card, I got security. Yeah, just wait. What a scam. You see, there's no way out of this except the Lord. The Antichrist will present an alternative, but that doesn't work either. But anyway, I'll hit that in a minute. First of all, he said, I consulted with myself and rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them. Notice what he did. He got the people to come against the nobles, to rise up. Say, hey, wait a minute. What's wrong with people today? They've been drinking too much water with fluoride in it. They can't keep two thoughts together. They got their brain fried on Netflix or something. I don't know what's going on, but they can't think. Have you ever noticed how docile everybody is? Wandering around with funny expressions on their faces like, who am I, where am I, what am I? Just give me some more of what I've got. This nation has been dosed in the food they eat, in the water they drink, in the programs they watch. They have been dosed, and they are in a condition of a... Well, what it is, it's a stupor that brings forth a spiritual result. Now, he gets these nobles together, and he gets these people assembled together. He set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, when we were sold unto the heathen. In other words, we bought back our brethren from the heathen. We redeemed them. And will ye even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. They got nothing to say. You know, they're kind of shocked over there in Washington right now because it leaked out what Hillary Clinton did as Secretary of State. She sold everything you've got. Your house, your property is now collateral for our debt to Red China. She went over there with hat in hand, begging them to buy more debt. They told her, in no uncertain terms, we need collateral. She presented them with a document of eminent domain against your property and mine, all the property of the United States, that if they don't pay up, the Chinese can have it. Everything! We're mortgaged, folks. Mortgage, death contract, mortuary, mortician, mortgage. And that came through the American embassy in China. It wasn't supposed to get out, but it did. It's pretty hard to keep a secret like that. The Chinese are the largest holders of U.S. Treasury bills, which are now paying 0.005% interest. That's junk. That is junk. T-bills are junk. If you keep putting out more and more money, if you keep putting more and more water in the Kool-Aid, more water in the Kool-Aid, pretty soon doesn't even have any color anymore, much less flavor. Now, anybody could figure that one out, couldn't they? And so that's exactly what's happening. You see, it's all laid out here in Nehemiah, right to the letter. Everything has been mortgaged to the heathen. Just think, that house you live in, you thought you owned it? I had mine paid off years ago. Of course, I still rent it from the city because I have to pay taxes every year. If you think you own your house, just don't pay your taxes once and see what happens. You don't own anything. You might say, I own my car. I got a certificate of title. That's right. You don't have a title. You've got a certificate of title. The state owns it. They just let you drive it. Oh, I've got, my children are mine. Well, when you've got that birth certificate, right? Certificate of live birth. That means the state is going to allow you to take care of that child by their benevolence until that child is 18, you see. But if we don't like the way you're doing things, then we'll just come and take that child away. It's called protective custody, child protective agency, right? That's never happened, has it? Oh. Nothing new under the sun. And so the Word of God tells us, and I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren, the Jews which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren? Hillary sold us. You see, what collateral does the country have? The taxing power. This country doesn't have anything except us. And so, eminent domain, permission for China to come and take it if they have to. There you are. I see this right in the Word of God. Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace. See, they don't have an answer. Nothing to answer. What can they say? Oh, it's so amazing. You know, Barack Obama wants to escalate the war in Afghanistan. You know what I think? I think that, you know, these senators and all of these people, Tom Daschle and all these guys, and Kennedy, of course, he's kind of out of commission. I think they should do just like they did in the Roman Empire. When the Senate voted to fight a battle, they had to go and lead the battle. Could you see that bunch in Washington leading the battle in Afghanistan? Hey, they wouldn't vote for any war. Not if they had to lead it. Yeah. Also, I said, it is not good that ye do what that ye do. He says, ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God? Don't they have any fear of God? Because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies. They're looking at us. The whole world's looking at us. What's wrong with those people? I don't paint a very pretty picture, do I? You didn't really want to come and have your ears tickled, did you? I'm trying to show you how it really is so that you look at the one hope that you do have. I hear people all the time saying, oh, you've heard all the negative reports. Don't worry, we'll come out of it. Everything isn't that bad. We've done it before. We'll do it again. Hey, this thing is on the last flush. Come on. I likewise, and my brethren, and my servants, might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. I think one of the first things should happen is they should outlaw all interest charges of every kind. That's step one. Then outlaw all insurance companies. No insurance for anybody. That if somebody's going to go and get medical help, you know, it should cost $5 like it used to. Instead of this $200, $300 for them to talk to you for 5 minutes. Well, I won't get into all that now, but the AMA, the American Money Association, is making a killing. Don't let them fool you. No, it's all part of the destructive process. Restore. I like that word, restore, don't you? Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses. Also, the hundredth part of the money, and of the corn, the wine, and the oil that ye exact of them. These pickpockets, right? He's saying, give it all back. Cancel the interest and give it all back. Then said they, we will restore them. Wow, back then they actually had character, didn't they? We will restore them and will require nothing of them. Now, remember this verse. So will we do as thou sayest. Then I called the priests and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. Also, I shook my lap, that garment in front of him, shook it off, and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise, even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, amen. Amen. And praised the Lord. And the people did according to their promise. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You see, what I'm looking at when I look at this, as we look at our situation now, what chance is there that all of these guys on Wall Street and all these bankers are going to say, okay, we'll give it all back? Not going to happen, is it? Like it happened here. But this is in here for a reason. And I'll tell you what is going to go on very soon. Let me start it out this way. Why do we love Jesus? You could say many reasons, right? But one thing that immediately comes to mind is the fact that I love him because he forgave my sins and remitted them, paid the price, and washed my sins away. I love him for that, don't you? Why do we sing those songs about the redemption and the power of the blood? Because He washed our sins away. We are forgiven. They are remitted. We also know that the Antichrist mocks everything that Jesus did. The Antichrist mocks the true Christ, mimics Him. You won't have to force people down to get the mark. They're going to love this man because what he's going to do is he's going to come up with a new economic system where all they have to do is take that little karagma, that little mark in their right hand or forehead, and that's what they'll use for buying and selling. But along with it, he is going to forgive them all their debt. Nobody's going to owe anybody anything. And the people are going to love him for it. They'll worship him for it. See, we have this precedent in the Bible, don't we? Satan will use this gimmick in order to attract the hearts of the people worldwide. If you canceled all debt of every kind, no more debt, everybody's debt-free. Can you imagine these people who are up to over their head in credit cards and mortgage and behind on everything? All of a sudden, a man comes along and says, it's canceled. No debt. And a new system where all you have to do is to buy or sell anything is just connect with the one big computer that monitors the entire world, and everything is done on credits and currencies electronically without you ever touching anything. No credit card, nothing else. All electronic. Will people balk at that? No. They're already punching holes in their flesh. They're already putting tattoos all over their body. What do they care about one more, right? And oh, how it's going to work. And suddenly, no debt. And no more creation of debt. A new system, like John Lennon sang about in his song, Imagine. Imagine there is no heaven, it's easy if you try. No hell beneath us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Right? Imagine no possessions. Imagine no countries. Imagine. And he said, you may think that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. Someday I hope you'll join us and the world will be as one. Do you think the devil prophesies? Oh, yes. And he tries to make his plan work. He's had his disciples out there for a long time, these rock songs that they put out. They had a message to them. They were programming an entire generation of people. In fact, Vladimir Lenin said, give me just one generation of youth and I will transform the entire world. Did he do it? His successors certainly did. They had that generation of youth. They were programmed back in the 60s. You might say, what about the youth today? Hey, they're zombies. I mean, they're so far gone. They are so burnt out on this and that and everything else. But you see, it's their parents that were programmed first. And when you read Nehemiah chapter 5 and you see the exact picture of what's going on in our country, the mortgages, the debt structure, the usury, and all of these things, I'm telling you, this country is going to cease to exist shortly. When you've got a man in power right now, who said that if a baby survives an abortion, that survival is an accident and that baby should be set aside to die. Then what have you got? It is, you know, but if this man were to come along or somebody like him and cancel all the debt, they'd love him. And I see this type in the scripture. I see this happening. There's got to be a reason why they love this deplorable Antichrist. And I believe that is the gimmick because along with it comes the new money system, the mark of the beast, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. It's right there in the scripture. I'm trying to, I say these things over and over again, I'm trying to get the point across until it rattles everybody that we are right now in the middle of this happening. It's not off in the future somewhere. This is it. And you are there. Remember those old You Are There films we used to see in school? It's exactly as it was, except you are there. Well, we're here, and it's happening. Talking to you about spiritual bankruptcy. And you know what's really strange is physical prosperity almost always leads to spiritual bankruptcy. And that's exactly what's happened in our country. This nation was once the most wealthy nation in the world, in the physical sense. And we even had revivalists out there. There were preachers who really meant business with God. They were all over the place. They'd travel around and preach and go out in the woods and the brush arbors and preach. People be filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'll tell you what, they didn't know what to think of some of these. They get so excited in God. You know, the early Methodists used to do that. God would fill them with the Holy Ghost. They used to call them the howling Methodists. They'd be worshiping God so much. The howling. Go in one of those Methodist churches today, see if they howl. Only if they're out on a bender the night before, maybe. Things have changed. Everything has deteriorated. And the only hope you have, because this world is not going to come out of this. They will come forth, that new phoenix will rise from the ashes of the fallen economy. They will come forth with a new economic system and one who will lead it. And they will love him for it because debt will be canceled. There won't be any interest, there won't be any debt, and everybody's going to love him for it. But first they have to destroy what we have now, and they've just about done it. It's in progress. But can you imagine our Secretary of State? Can you imagine? Get a picture of this. Going to Red China and saying, look, buy more of our debt. And China saying, we can't buy more debt. We need security. And her presenting a document of eminent domain with your property address on it, basically all the property of the United States as collateral for the debt that China is buying. In other words, if this country doesn't produce and pay China, then we forfeit everything to them. A signed document. You know, talk about impeachment time. Talk about tar and feather and ride them out of town on a rail. You know? But it happened. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ and the knowledge that we have of Him. Because if we knew all of these things and you didn't know the Lord, you'd probably do what they're doing out there. You know, tuning out, spacing out on something, walking around in a daze. Try to talk to them. Do you ever look at people and say, where do I start? Now, where do I start? I don't know where to begin with people. What can I tell them? I can give them the gospel. They say, oh, I got a church. The way they say it, I got a church. Is that what you think of it? I got a church. What's that going to do for you? You know, I think we better start getting in people's faces. Start to bother them. Now, I was taking a chance, I know. Down in Madison, there was a man witnessing to a homosexual, telling him about the Lord and how he could be free from what he's in and all this kind of stuff. And a man got his cell phone out and called the police, had him arrested, and they charged him with a hate crime and fined him $7,000 in court. Because he's a homophobe. Huh? This is a weird, weird society. man had to apologize to a tree in New York because he chained his bicycle around it. We went into one of these Jewish delis to get something to eat, chained his bicycle to the tree, and they said that's harmful to the tree. Took him to court. They offered him jail time, or he could stand out and publicly apologize to the tree. I am sorry, I put a chain around you. Hey, all the Looney Tunes are not in the cartoon show. And what do they say after the Looney Tunes are over? That's all, folks. I'll tell you what. We are a nation right now that is under a double curse. We are both spiritually and physically bankrupt. There is no wealth, and certainly none that isn't mortgaged to the Chinese. There's nothing left. I know they haven't told you that yet, but that's how it is. But there is hope in Jesus Christ. No matter what they take away from you or what disappears, one thing for sure is our Savior is with us. Amen. You know, if you go over to the book of Luke chapter 15, a story is told by our Lord about two sons. In Luke 15:11, I've got to do this in about 10 minutes. And then we have two baptisms. Isn't that awesome? In Luke chapter 15, verse 11, it says, a certain man, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. In other words, he got them together and said, okay, we'll have a reading of the will while I'm still alive. If you want your money now, okay. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So he took everything, all of his inheritance, went a long ways away where nobody knew him, and boy, did he cut loose and sow wild oats. Riotous living. Terrible, right? I don't know that any of us weren't really any different at one time or another in our lives. I hope you don't have an opinion of yourself that you were pretty good, because we were all rotten to the core. I think I can speak for all of us, can't I? If not, I'll speak for me. I was. All right? Verse 14 says, and when he had spent all, notice, now he's bankrupt. When you've spent all, you are bankrupt. And he didn't have a Visa or American Express. You know what American Express has done? They've contacted a lot of their cardholders and said, look, you know, the ones that couldn't pay up, because you have to pay them every month, you know. They said, would you please close your account? If you would just close your account, we'll give you $300 to do it. That's how bad they are. He had spent all. It's gone. And there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain, meaning he would gladly, have filled his belly with the husks, which are carob pods, that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. We wouldn't even give him what the pigs ate. And when he came to himself, oh, that people would do that. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Isn't that beautiful? Took a lot to get him to that point, didn't it? But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. But he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son, which thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. There you see the willingness of the Lord to forgive. This extreme sin of taking the inheritance and going and just blowing it in wild living, and then finally realizing when he became bankrupt. Sometimes that's what it takes. Maybe with all of this going on, the bankruptcy of our country, maybe some people will wake up and come to God, because they're sure not going to fix this one. It's all you can do is come to God. And when he went back to his father, which is here is the type of the Almighty, he came back, he found forgiveness. The best robe was put on him. The ring, it was a signet ring. You know what that is? That's the signature of his father with his name on it. Do you realize what this means? He then had the authority of his father. He was wearing it on his hand. That's what I call acceptance. What does the Lord do for us when we come to him? Remember, we were children of wrath, but the wrath of God burnt out at Calvary. It's like when a forest fire is coming at you. If you have enough warning, enough time, you can start controlled fires and burn all around it, so that when the big fire comes, it passes you by. There's nothing to burn. It's burnt out. Your sin and mine was burnt out. The wrath of God was burnt out at Calvary. Therefore, we are safe. And whenever I read about what Jesus did on the cross, one of the things that he said, I marvel at. For he hung on the cross there, and he said, I thirst. You know why I marvel at that? Here was the one who made all the great waterfalls of the world, with all the mist and the rainbows appearing in them, and all the great and mighty rivers and all this water. And he was hanging on the cross in the form of a man saying, I thirst. But he was there thirsting so that you could drink, not of just the water of this world, but the living water, so you would never thirst again. You know, years ago, there was a young girl in England. I'll have to close with this, we're out of time. There was a young girl in England that was lost in London. She couldn't find her way home. And there were a couple of policemen, of course they call them bobbies over there. And these policemen saw her, she looked distressed, and they said, what's wrong, little girl? And she said, I cannot find my way home. I am lost, I don't know my way home. And so they put her in their little car, you know, and drove around. They said, well, look for something familiar. And as they were doing this, this little girl turned to them and said something that changed the lives of these two police officers forever. It was in the content of the words that she spoke. For as they were driving around, she happened to see a church on the corner, And it had a big cross in the front of it. And she said to the policeman, and they said, "Do you see anything familiar? Anything familiar?" She said, "Look over there." She said, "Just take me to the cross. I can find my way home from there." And the Lord spoke to me last night and let me know that I, as a preacher, I can't get you to heaven. I can't take you there. But what I can do with the preaching of the gospel is I can take you to the cross and you can find your way home from there. Those officers were shocked as those words went through them. There was something in the way she said it. Something in those words. "Officers, just take me to the cross. Just take me to the cross. I can find my way home from there." It was only just down the next block. She knew where she lived then. But it was in the content of the words. "Take me to the cross. I can find my way home from there." And so it is with us. Remember when somebody took you to the cross, prayed for you? God used people somewhere. The preaching that you heard, something happened. And you realized this world, which is continually in a state of decay and corruption, holds no hope for you. And somehow you've got to find your way home. Somehow you've got to get into that place in eternity that is the manifold glory of God. How do I get there? You start out by going to the cross of Jesus Christ. From there, I can guarantee you, if I can get you to the cross, if I can just get you to the cross, you will find your way home. Because the Lord will take over and do a marvelous work in your heart. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we are so thankful, Lord, that we can be here today and consider all of these words. And Lord, I know that Thou hast called Thy people together for a purpose and for a reason. And conditions in this world are terrible, but yet we know very soon Thou wilt come again. And Thou wilt open the skies. And what a great appearing, what a great and glorious day it will be. And now, Lord Jesus, I pray that Thou wouldst help us even now to seek Thee. Help us, Lord, as we walk through this life. Help us always, O God, to find our reference point at Calvary. For then we'll find our way home. Lead us and guide us and direct us, and let Thy blessing remain upon us. We thank Thee for it, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.